CliffCentral.com. It is 7 o'clock. A couple of things in the news before we get to our Coffee Fridays. There's a huge amount of coffee in here. Wow, it looks amazing. There's coffee from Rwanda and Tanzania and all over the place. It's quite something. And Ben needs a cable for his phone because he's run out of power. What happened? Didn't you charge it overnight? Is this what you... You're very unprofessional about this. You used to be very tidy about
this.
Not
really, actually, Gareth, because what I've...
You don't even use an iPhone anymore. What are you doing?
But this iPhone is the show phone. So when you go onto the Instagram page, the Gareth Cliff Instagram page, Everything comes from just this phone. This is the only purpose of this phone.
Yeah.
So if you go onto there right now, you'll see the start of the final day of winter. But that takes a lot of battery power to provide
That's fine. We're going to get some nice pictures and some nice video for you today, and then you can be part of Coffee Friday today. Special experience. We've got someone called Kath Bland who's coming in, and she's the opposite of what her name suggests. In fact, her taste buds are hot property. In the coffee world, she's one of three Q graders in South Africa, and she's part of an elite group of global coffee connoisseurs. How do you like that? Passing an intensive course devoted to coffee tasting, few of which are successful, Kath initially qualified as a Q grader in Ethiopia, and this year gained recertification in Kenya. There is nothing bland about that. But we'll meet her properly in a short while.
Gareth, there's a Bunsen burner in the studio now.
Yes, no, she's going to do the whole thing. She's going to roast the coffee. She's going to show us everything.
It's like Breaking Bad of coffee.
It's amazing.
Like we've suddenly got a small lab in here.
All right, a couple of things I want you to know this morning. First of all, a vagina is not a vagina anymore. They've got a new name for it that isn't offensive to trans people. All right? Listen to this. Very important.
It's a front hole, not a vagina.
A what?
A front hole.
That's ridiculous.
No, Ben. Listen. Here's Martina to tell us more.
We are reaching a whole new level of crazy people. There's a story relating to a new Healthline LGBTQIA safe sex guide, and there's a lot to pick apart here. Mm. First off, they have claimed that health disparities and the higher rates of STIs and HIV observed in the LGBTQIA communities is a result of discrimination and sexual education.
So if you have a disease, that's because you are discriminated against and you've been given the wrong education. Couldn't possibly be that you picked up a disease. That's what the LGBTQIA safe sex guide tells you. But here it is. Now we've got to call it a front hole, not a vagina.
Secondly, they try and solve the perceived problem by replacing the word vagina with front hole. This sounds like something from a comedy show, but I swear it is real. So Healthline has produced a new LGBTQIA safe sex guide, which explains... For the purpose of this guide, we'll refer to the vagina as front hole instead of solely using the medical term vagina. This is gender-inclusive language that's considerate of the fact that some trans people don't identify with the labels that medical community attaches to their genitals.
Hmm. So that's what we've got to do from now on. Just know that this weekend, if you end up having some luck and you end up scoring, it's a front hole. It's not a vagina, all right? Don't call it anything else because you could be upsetting the trans community.
Sounds like you take a bit of romance out or just general...
Front hole.
General dirty talk.
Yeah. Hey, honey, show me your front hole.
But then does front bum come back into prominence then? There's a slightly softer way of saying
No, because your bum would be the back. You see, that's your back hole.
I know, but you use the word front, Mm-mm. So what you're doing is you're Mm-mm. making a bit of a switcheroo.
You're not in the LGBTQIA community.
Thanks for reminding me. I'm so sorry. Look at me.
You goddamn patriarchal.
Look at me getting out of my lane again.
Heterosexual man. How dare you? Anyway, so we thought you needed to know that. And then I don't know if you saw this, but quite a controversial cover on the latest Cosmopolitan. They've put an overweight woman on the cover, and a lot of people are very upset about this. Some people say it's great.
Overweight or just comfortably weighted, Gareth?
Well, you know, here's the problem, is that if we put an extremely thin woman on the cover of Cosmo, we know what happens if you put an underweight woman on the cover. People are going to lose their minds. They're going to say, you know, this is bad because it's giving girls the idea that they should be grossly underweight, and it's very unhealthy. And the same should really go for overweight. But who am I to judge? I don't buy Cosmopolitan.
But as long as they're not showing their front hole too much.
Yeah, that's a good point too. So if you'd like to have a look at it, just buy and maybe you don't even need to buy the latest. Just go and just scroll through pictures. You'll see the latest Cosmo cover, and you tell us what you think about that. I'd like to know, going back particularly from women.
Going back to front hole, and yes, I'm fascinated by this. Then, yes. Then do you not say ass anymore? Is that just back hole? Or ears, just head holes?
There's a whole glossary of terms that you're meant to use now.
Is mouth offensive?
Yes.
Is that a speak hole?
That's a speak hole. Ear hole is still okay.
Well, we're about to have coffee holes, I guess. So.
Yeah, well, we're going to fill our speak holes with coffee. But here's something really, really appalling that I thought you needed to hear this morning, just to remind you that you're on planet Earth and that not all humans are evolved. There's a band called Mwah, M-W-A-H, Mwah, I think that's
French,
how you say it.
French goth
no,
band?
No, South African, Afrikaans band, featuring Elvis Sasian. And they've released a song called Sandra Prinsloo, which is probably the worst song I've ever heard in my life. But you be the judge. This definitely came out of a front hole.
Maak jou reg, dis ek en jy vanavond. My hart skree, skree, skree vir jou. Smoor verlief, dis ek en nou.
By the way, it's three girls from what I can tell, and a dude called Elvis Sasian, all right?
Yeah.
Is this your weekend music that you've always hoped for? Yeah, look at this. Beautiful. Okay. Yeah. Else it sounds like this. Gareth, I have your front hole in my...
I think you're losing the plot, Gareth. This is classic pop.
This is great, right?
This is classic pop. You've got slow-mo footage of these women meowing. Then you've got an actual ABBA sort of ring. And then you've got Aqua, Barbie Girl Tennessee. I think
this is a hit. I don't even know what the words are, but it's horrible.
These guys should be in our studio. This is a big hit.
Maybe we should get them in. Yeah, Nolo, try and book them for a couple of weeks' time. All right, let's talk about coffee, because this is way more interesting, and this is what we like to do on Fridays. Last week we had, what did we have last week? I'm trying to think. We had waxing and stuff done. We had grooming, yeah. And the week before that, we had two kids with some ice cream in here. Week before that, we were doing hubbly. We've done some drinking first thing in the morning. Yeah. That was pretty rough. This morning, we're going to do something that actually fits in with mornings. And around South Africa and around the world, coffee has become so important, and it's become an area for connoisseurs. It's become an area where you don't just talk, open your speak hole and say things unless you know what you're talking about. Now, Kath Bland is here, quite the opposite of what her surname suggests. She is one of only three Q graders in South Africa. Six? There are six? How dare they? Here, grab this microphone, Kat. Why has it changed? Have three others come into the fold?
Yeah, so just recently we had our first Q course in South Africa, and two people got certified out of a group of about 10, I think.
So. How hard is it to get that certification?
So that's about an average pass rate, so it's about 20% per class.
Wow. Mm. And what do you have to do to be a Q grader?
You just have to taste coffee.
And you can tell the difference.
I can.
So this is almost like those people who work in perfumes, the what they call the noses. Those people who have an extraordinary sense. Look, they learn a lot of it, but it's an extraordinary sense of smell that enables them to pick up on notes and things that the rest of us aren't as sensitive to. So I suppose you must have very evolved, very specialized taste buds.
Yeah.
You ensure your mouth?
No.
You probably should.
Probably, yes. Yeah. I've burnt it a couple of times.
How did you discover that this was something that made you stand out from the crowd, that this was something that you are especially talented in?
So I don't know, actually. So I started working as a barista part-time while I was studying and just really loved the industry.
What were you studying at the time?
Oceanography.
Oceanography. Yeah. And you decided, I'll just be a barista as well.
Yeah.
You know, you're an overachiever.
Most students have to, like, we have a part-time job of some sort, you know.
So did you work in a coffee shop or behind a bar or?
Yeah, so I worked in a cafe in Cape Town. So yeah, and
Cape
just
Town,
really loved the environment.
Cape Town really is at the forefront of the connoisseur coffee movement, right?
Yeah. Having said that, 4 of the 6 Q graders live and work in Joburg. So,
well, that's probably just because there's more business up here.
Probably.
But I think this is amazing. So first of all, congratulations on being in this very elite crew of people. You've got your own brand, right?
Yeah, so I work for Bean There Coffee Company.
That's B-E-A-N, Bean There.
That's it, yeah.
And you guys make a ton of really, really interesting coffee. I mean, there's coffee from all over the world. I see from Africa here, we've got Ethiopia, we've got Kenya, we've got Rwanda,
we've got
Tanzania.
I had a slight hangover this morning, and just a little bit of Ethiopian on the nose has made me feel like a new person.
So how does it work? Are you involved as like an expert? You're their specialist. You're the one who can tell them what's in a coffee. You can pick up on what you need more of, what you need less of, how to make the best coffee out of these. Because you get the beans. That's just your raw material, right?
Yeah. So what I basically do, so as we actually only source African coffee, so we just get from East Africa. So you won't find from South America or Central America or Southeast Asia.
I'm sure you've tried some of those, though.
I have, yes. Yeah. And you get some exceptional coffees from there. But Ethiopia is the birthplace of coffee. So that's really why we're focused on East Africa. My job is really about...
You're in charge of managing roasting, quality control, coffee cupping, ensuring that the company's equipment and machinery are well-maintained, optimal operation, all that stuff. It's quite a lot of work.
Well, it's a little bit of a jack of all trades. I just do anything that needs doing, I guess.
So what
mostly that kind of involves just quality control and tasting coffee. I have a great job.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
What do people, ordinary civilians, who are inexperienced and stupid, do that irritates you about coffee? What do people do wrong? What is the most stupid thing that all of us are guilty of? When it comes to making coffee, I know people
putting
who like
sugar in it.
I know people.
Nailed
who
it.
Is that it? Putting sugar in it?
Yeah, pretty
Gee,
well.
Ben, that
so
spoils.
Having
it.
Said that, I also believe that no, you shouldn't let anybody tell you how to drink your coffee. So
it's,
if you want to
like
drink
whiskey.
Instant or
yeah,
whatever,
it's
kind
of like whiskey. If you want to do it properly, you have it as is. Whatever, a couple of drops to release the flavor. Same with coffee. If you want to then put Nesquik in it,
we can
so
still
be
friends. It's
so,
okay.
So be it.
But wow. Yeah. I'm just not going to share with you some of the best coffees that I've ever tasted.
Not going to waste it.
What exactly. Do you think of people who drink instant coffee?
They're people too.
You don't discriminate.
So I'm never going to serve you a cup of instant coffee. Yeah, if that's what you like, that's okay.
You've got a Bunsen burner here.
I do.
You've got a plunger, very complicated looking plunger. It almost looks like lab equipment.
Little bit.
Yeah, and then
so this was designed by a chemist.
It's amazing. Yeah. Beautiful. It's like a flask.
Yeah. That one thing of there looks like a bit of a bong.
A little bit, hey.
That's a plunger, right?
Which means that's gonna do something amazing.
It is.
All right. So you said these are East African coffees. What's your favorite? I mean, you must have a personal attachment to one or two of these.
So it changes just because we're working with a natural product, and so the actual coffee changes itself. So every season, it's a different coffee that's a favorite. But if I had to choose, I would probably choose something like a Kenyan or an Ethiopian.
Ooh, is there a reason for that? What is it about them and those blends in particular that get your attention?
Just because they're most complex, usually. So, like, lots of sweetness, lots of berries. You can pick up chocolate, you can pick up florals. There's all kinds of things that kind of come from those two particular origins.
All right, so we've got someone in here who also knows a lot about this. He is the Joburg foodie, and you can find him all over social media. Steven Steinfeld, it's nice to have you here. How are you?
Yeah, great, and yourself. Thanks
cool,
for having
man.
Me.
Yeah, what a pleasure. So you've set yourself up and become something of an expert too. People look to you for advice when it comes to figuring out the good from the bad and the brilliant from the average.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think
so with coffee, are you? I mean, you know Kath, because you guys you looked at each other
Kath
just now.
Well.
Yeah. Right,
I actually did a barista course at Bean There.
Okay.
So, yeah. Is
he any good, Kath?
I don't know. I've never actually tasted his coffee. So.
All right, well, maybe
I do
we...
know that he likes our coffee, so it has to be, you know.
No, just
turn
this mic
someone.
To face you.
I definitely have good taste, according to Kath.
All right, so... Tell me about you a little bit.
Yeah, so started the Joburg Foodie. It's a social media-based food blog. basically, I was studying accounting and really not enjoying it, and I needed a creative outlet. And I was taking pictures of my food wherever I was going, and my friends were always saying, Steve, where should we go? Where's good? Where are we eating next? And I took these beautiful photos, and I thought my friends weren't appreciated on my Instagram page. So why didn't I start another one? And that was about 4 years ago.
And look, yeah, at, look at what's happened.
5,000 followers later. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So what kind of interactions do people mostly have with you? Are they asking your opinion on things? Are they,
yeah,
are
it's
they
up
complimenting
and where to go.
It?
It's, you know, what do you think of this place?
Right.
Yeah, it's, opinion is generally what people
have you ever
after.
Given? Have you ever given a 10 out of 10, the best place in Joburg?
I prefer that question because normally it's like, where's the worst meal you've ever had?
No.
Trust me, somewhere here in Rivonia Main Road, there's some questionable restaurants masquerading as strip clubs. Mm.
You know what? I think food is such a subjective area that it's difficult to say 10 out of 10. I've got my favorite restaurants. Are they necessarily up there with like Eat Out's top 10? Yeah, some of them are. But again, it's what you feel like and really what you're looking for. That depends what a 10 out of 10
could
be.
Is your diary booked up from Monday to Thursday or all week, all 7 days a week, where you just have bookings for dinners and you have tastings and all kinds of things every day?
I mean, I'm very lucky in that I do obviously get invited to a lot of places, and it is maybe 4 or 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
I try to eat at home at least once a week, which is
But that's
nice.
A full-time job, right?
Pretty much.
So you can't do anything else.
I consult half days, but
oh wow.
Yeah, most of the time is Joburg foodie.
All right, how much of food and in particular coffee is about atmosphere and vibe and people rather than just the product?
I think probably most of it. I've got this theory that food, and especially when you go into wine, and I guess the same thing applies to coffee, is quite visceral. So it's all memory driven, and it's, you know, the best coffee you may have may not actually be the best coffee. It may just be the best surroundings you enjoyed it in or the best time you had that coffee. So yeah, I think
it brings back memories, right?
Exactly,
so you think, oh, this reminds me of a relationship I had.
100%. You know, this was a great time sitting after varsity had been there. And I really remember having, it's not here today, but the DRC Congo. So yeah, I completely think it's memory driven. And you know,
wow. And can you still pick that up? If I give you a cup of Cut's Best and you go, this is DRC Congo, would you be able to pick that up?
I'd like to think so. But
wow.
Yeah.
You could, right, Kat? You would know.
Yeah. Particularly for our coffees, absolutely.
All right. So what are you going to make for us this morning? What do you feel like doing?
I don't know.
You've brought all this equipment in here. It really does look like a coffee laboratory.
So I guess I brought in a lot of stuff that people will have at the back of their cupboards that they may not know how to use or anything like that. So, yeah. So do you want to choose?
We've
got four things.
No. I'm happy to. You lead me because I'm not the expert at all here. I'm a coffee philistine.
Yeah. Kath, I was going to say, we've all used a plunger, so I don't think we need to really see that. I mean, it's nice. It's cool. Like a...
That's
one of those glass plungers.
Even Gareth can use that. We want to see that flame, and we want to see that
bomb. Go on.
We want to see flames.
Yeah, give us something crazy.
Okay, cool.
You can you make something for all of us, and then we'll have Steve comment on it as well, and, you know, let him in on some of the overall, I suppose, expert view on what's going on here.
Cool. So does anybody actually want to make coffee? Or is it
Ben will make some.
Gareth, I've got typing to do.
Really? Okay, no, you're going to make it.
Okay, so it's all
it goes into making the show.
You make the best coffee. We're going to trust you to do this. So are you weighing this now? Are you putting it on a scale?
I am, yeah. So we're going to start with the Chemex, just because it's my favorite way of making coffee. So I generally, for preference, will drink my coffee black.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chemex really just makes a really clean tasting
coffee.
You call
it a Chemex?
Chemex, yeah.
How do you spell that?
Chemex.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to hook up in the coffee industry, you got to open with a Chemex conversation here or there. Bring someone back.
If people are talking,
are going to be front and center.
If people are talking about a cup or a machine, then they're backwards.
Or if it's like, well, I've got a plunger, come back to my house.
Nah, it's all right.
Chemex, is it?
If you had a Chemex, then I'll have sex with you. After you've made me coffee.
Hey, Gareth, I have to go so crass.
Are you weighing the coffee? How much do you put in? Is it because people usually just put in what they think is right into a filter paper arrangement like you've got there?
Yeah, so basically the general idea is if you weigh everything, you can repeat something. So if you really like it, you can repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's really just about experimentation. So it's not too many hard and fast rules. Everything is...
But you're not thumb sucking here. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm using a ratio of 60 grams of coffee per liter of water.
And you're giving us the Rwanda
I am,
blend.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Rwanda also, lovely climate for growing coffee beans.
Yeah.
So the process here, just so that we know, coffee beans, when you take them off the tree, no use. You can't use those straight away. They have to be dried. They have to be roasted. All of that, you know, there's a whole process, right?
Yeah, so basically it looks like cherries on on a tree, and you're picking only the ripe cherries. So coffee is really labor-intensive all the way down the chain. So you're picking it over a series, like one tree can, the cherries will ripen over a series of like a month, if not longer.
Yeah.
So hand picking off the tree and then taking to the washing station, the flesh of the cherry gets washed off. And then you get the coffee that basically lies in the
sun. Could you eat the flesh of that cherry? What would it taste like?
Yeah, it's actually quite nice and sweet. A little bit dusty, almost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little bit smoky in a sense.
All right.
And that's because of the caffeine, I think.
But we use just the seed in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
The pip of the thing.
That's it, yeah.
And then we take that and we roast it and we dry it.
Yeah. And so that's called green coffee, yeah.
And then we crush it, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And that's what you make coffee out of.
Yeah.
Who discovered that? I mean, that sounds like such a process to go through. Can you imagine being the first person to discover that you could make something out of that? Usually we'd throw that away.
Exactly.
What if there's some great secret lurking in a peach pip that we don't know, and one day that's what they're going to make some beverage out of that'll go worldwide? Can you imagine?
Well, life is trial and error, Gareth. I mean, how did we get milk out of cows initially? It was some pervert who just had a bit of a go.
All right, so Kat is currently filling up a jug with some water. Have you got some hot water there?
Yeah.
All right, that's what she's busy with. She's got the filter paper in the Chemex, which is what she's going to put the hot water through, I suppose, to drain it into the bottom where there will be coffee. So you want the soluble stuff. You don't want the stuff that's left behind, right? The soluble things are the things that you're interested in.
Yeah, so
Not all of it.
Because if you go too far, so only about 20%. Only about 20% of a coffee bean is actually soluble.
Huh.
And if you get all of that 20%, you're actually going to get some stuff that actually doesn't taste great. So you want anywhere between about 16 and 18% of the soluble stuff in the
Use a special grade of filter paper?
Yeah, so the Chemex is great because of the filter paper. The quality is really fantastic. If you were to feel that it's nice and thick, it filters out any undissolved solids. It filters out oils and that kind of thing as well. So you get a really sweet, almost sometimes tea-like kind of coffee.
I like the sound of that. Yeah. All right, so Steve, tell us a little bit. I mean, how many cups of coffee are you doing a day?
About 4 or 5 generally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you're buzzing by like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're bouncing off the walls.
Pretty much.
All right, so
always say it's a way just to keep it level.
Have you tried the Rwanda blend that Kat's
busy
with
at
the moment?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I am being there relatively often, and I think I've tried probably most of them.
All right.
But yeah, I'm not sure how much.
Where in Johannesburg, you could compliment some people now, give them a plug. Where in Johannesburg would you say you can get some of the best coffees? Name a couple of places so people know.
Yeah, so if you haven't been to Beanthere's 44 Stanley store, definitely check it out. Kat is often roasting coffee.
She's there herself doing it?
There in herself, in person, in the flesh.
It's a good thing you love this, Kat, because otherwise you'd really have a horrible time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you would be rough.
Yeah, you would feel like you were in a laboratory doing the same laborious experiment over and over again.
Yeah.
But you love it, and you see the expression on people's faces when they taste really great coffee for the first time.
Yeah. So for me, every cup of coffee is really an act of love. So I'm just handing over a little bit of love to people every day. You know?
What do you think of people who mix milk, and we've already discussed sugar, and you gave a disapproving look. What do you think of cappuccinos and lattes and all the rest of them?
So I think they're great as long as you know where the coffee comes from. So sometimes you walk into a place and you don't really know what they're serving or where it comes from. And I think that for me is a tragedy. So I like single origin coffee. Mm-hmm. So basically any coffee that comes from a particular country or a particular washing station. Yeah.
And it is regional. You can pick up the different flavors.
Yeah, you can, definitely.
So is there a distinctive East African thing, or is it all quite specific to the actual country? I mean, is there an East African flavor? to coffee that you pick up over and above all the others?
Yeah. So definitely African coffee tends to be really fruity, like lots of off-the-wall kind of flavors. Like you'll get your florals, you'll get jasmine, you'll get lavender, that kind of thing. And lots of citrus.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're really big coffees generally. Like they stand out on the table all the time. Yeah.
All right. And what, Steve, tell me about you and your blog. What's going on over there at the moment? I mean, you've got a blog. You obviously put a lot of stuff straight up on social media. What do you find gets people's attention when you're talking about coffee? What are people most interested
talking
in?
Talking about coffee, I think they like pretty pictures for the most
right.
part.
Yeah.
But I think what's really interesting is there is this movement towards third wave or alternative brewing, which Kath has bought a few of with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more and more people are getting interested in that. As I say, I drink about 4 or 5 espressos a day, which is quite a heavy...
That's incredible.
Deep
That's
extraction.
It's very concentrated.
And yeah, I think what's nice about third wave is that if you don't like espresso and you have been drinking cappuccinos and all that and would like to try black coffee, this type of extraction does extract in a way that is much more lighter. It's much more floral. And I think it's a great stepping stone to getting into pure coffee, rather, if I'm not mistaken, Kat.
Do we grow some very nice coffee in South Africa?
Our climate's not right. We're not hot enough as far as I know, but...
Yeah, so we've got about 7 different farms that are actually producing coffee, but they're not producing enough to sell commercially. And yeah, so Steve is right. It's our climate is just not quite right.
Yeah, probably too dry as well.
Yeah. There's also, although having said that, there is a movement at the moment, there seems to be some government funding put behind actual coffee growing.
I believe
stuff,
like so. In the south of KZN, you can, and in like the Transkei, you can grow some decent coffee. That's what people have told me, but what the hell do I know?
Yeah.
All right, so what do you do with the dregs? You throw those away.
Or you recycle them, compost.
Oh, right, compost.
Yeah.
Of course, because it's organic, you could use it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So now you take your Chemex after your filter paper has been thrown out with the residue, the dregs, and now you've got some beautiful coffee there, so we're going to try some Rwanda blend. All right, Ben, come and try some of this.
All right.
I'm sorry Sia isn't here, but Nolo, you're forbidden because you've already had 3 liters of energy drink this morning, and I think you might attack somebody if you do. First of all, this smells amazing. It's very clean and fresh, and Stephen, you must have some as well. And then the coffee that I often smell when I go to places that say that they're expert in coffee is that it smells a little burnt. This doesn't smell burnt.
No,
it smells like it's, you know, it's just before it's actually been combusted, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So always a good quality coffee, you can tell. It has 3 characteristics. So it's uniform. So from cup to cup, it tastes the same. It's clean. Doesn't taste or smell earthy or anything,
mm-hmm.
or over-fermented or something like that. And it's sweet as well. So a good quality coffee should always be sweet.
Your friends must think you're very cool because you know all of this stuff.
Well, most of my friends are coffee people, so they know what I know and
right.
more. So.
Oh, really? And more?
And more, yeah.
You've encountered people who know more?
For sure, yeah.
Here?
Not in this room, no.
No, hell no. Well,
maybe not.
Definitely not.
All right.
In Johannesburg, yes, yeah.
Are some coffee people douchey, Steve? Come on, tell us the truth.
I think
are some of them a bit of a pain?
There are people in every field who are douchey.
I've got friends who are lovely people, but if I don't give them a certain kind of coffee, and I don't know the first thing about coffee, they get very mouthy with me. Become difficult to be around. You know what I'm talking about, Ben.
Sure.
People who are, they are coffee snobs.
Yeah, no, I think they definitely are, and
this tastes amazing.
I think in a way they are furthering the industry, but at the same time, I'm just such a proponent for rather education rather than isolation,
mm-hmm.
and rather be nice and kind of.
All right, let's have Ben's review of the coffee.
This is exactly what Kath was saying about the fruitiness, the clean, everything you said comes through on the palate. Not because I've been brainwashed or that I was looking for it, because I actually wasn't listening. I left the room. But this is so good. It's got that sort of natural sweetness to it.
You don't need sugar in this. It would ruin it.
No, it's just...
Yeah.
But you don't want to add milk either.
No. So this is a kind of brewing method where it does filter out the oils. So something like a plunger, for example, if you're used to drinking milk, coffee with milk and sugar, then use a plunger because that's going to be a much richer, thicker taste. So
what I also notice about this is that it's got a little bit of bitterness to it because that's in the flavor of coffee, right?
Yeah.
You expect a little bit of that.
Yeah.
It's got to have a bit of bite.
It actually just rounds out the flavor a little bit. So without that, it may be a little bit too sweet, like a dessert that's maybe too sweet, you know?
Is the coffee business an expensive business? I mean, like, do you have to invest a lot of money in creating the product and getting it there and packaging it and having the machines to make the coffee and, you know, you've got all this complicated equipment? Is it a very labor-intensive and expensive business?
Yeah, so definitely, like, roasting equipment is super expensive, everything that kind of comes along with that, but then also your green coffee should be expensive as well. So at the moment, the coffee price on the New York Stock Exchange is the lowest it's been in about 14 years.
Oh.
But yeah, that should not be an indication of what you're paying for your coffee.
Have you judged coffee competitions?
I have.
Oh, how does that work?
I've competed in them too.
Oh, yeah? Is it a panel of people and you put your coffee down in front of them and they taste it and they smell it and then they give you a review?
Yes, basically.
Is that it?
Yeah, so there are lots of competitions that you can be involved in if you want to, yeah.
I mean, it's interesting, Steve, right? You're not just ranking places against their, you know, food or their coffee or their drinks or their menu or their look and feel. You're also trying to introduce people to new experiences.
Completely.
Right?
And so I mean,
it's not just a competition for hierarchy.
No, and I try to avoid that because my whole mentality around it has been, I'm not going to put up a bad review, but if your restaurant is bad, I'm not going to post about you.
Oh, so you don't give bad reviews?
So I try, well, it depends who I'm reviewing for. For myself, no, but if I'm reviewing for other people, and then it's, yeah, maybe.
But you must have been to some shit places.
Absolutely terrible places.
But what's the shittest cup of coffee you've had? You've been to someone's office and they made a mug of instant for you.
After doing the barista course, I've got such an appreciation for what it takes to put a great, even a decent shot of espresso.
Yeah.
That you'd be surprised at how few places are pulling proper shots of coffee. The temperature has to be right. The dosage has to be right. And it changes every day based on humidity and temperature.
Good Lord, it's complicated.
Should be calibrated every single morning. So to actually get a good shot of coffee is harder than to get a bad one. And I think a lot of people are probably just drinking bad coffee.
What do you think of people who make it on their own at home? They've got these machines, you know, like a Nespresso machine or whatever. Yeah. George Clooney says it's good enough. It's got to be good enough, right?
Steve says it's good enough too. I think it is the most convenient and consistent shot of espresso you can get at home without having
a proper machine. You agree, Kat? Very controversial.
Yeah, it is a little. I think the problem is really just, again, just about where the coffee comes from. So Nespresso is a massive company. They buy a lot of coffee, which is great for the coffee
industry. All over the world.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think they're fantastic. I think they're doing a good job. And you're right. Completely convenient. So clean. There's no mess, no fuss. Yeah.
And it's consistent. You'll always get a decent shot of coffee to start your day.
That's it.
Although Bean, they have now started capsules too, if I'm not mistaken.
We have, yeah.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like everything's going very well for you. I appreciate you bringing all of this stuff in here. You're going to make us something else to try?
Go with the bong. Go with the bong.
Yeah. So the bong is actually called an AeroPress. So this was designed by the guys who built the Aerobee Frisbee. I don't know if you know.
What is that?
It holds the world record for the longest Frisbee flight in the world.
And they built this as well? They must be pretty interesting people.
Yeah, they are. Super interesting.
All right.
So this is basically a combination of a bunch of different things. So with your Chemex, it's the filtration method. So gravity is working on the coffee, on the water, to pull the water through the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
With your plunger, you're basically steeping it, just letting it sit there for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And with the AeroPress, it's a combination of filter and steeping and pressure as well, which is what your espresso machine is.
Right, so you're really extracting all the value out of the coffee,
right?
As much
as you can, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you push that and then it actually compresses the air in that cylinder?
Yeah, so it basically, you're applying pressure just with your arm and you're pushing the water through the coffee.
When do you need to light up your Bunsen burner?
So I would love to light up my Bunsen burner. I'm a bit of a pyromaniac.
Okay.
But unfortunately, the equipment that I bought is...
You don't need to.
Yeah.
You don't need to for these. No. All right, we'll make us something else. We've got a bunch of things to get through. George Meany's going to join us in a short while on Skype. He'll be on the line, so we'll have some more coffee. Steve, where can we find you if people don't know yet about the Joburg Foodie?
Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at the Joburg Foodie.
Very good. One word. No complicated grammatical or punctuation marks.
Very good.
All right, cool. So what are you up to this weekend, Steve? Where are you going to be going?
This weekend, I'm going to be eating.
Yes, clearly.
Where am I going to be eating? Yes. That's a good question.
Anything exciting that you
I'm going to go past Four Ways Farmers Market. There's an activation there that I need to pop into.
Do you buy a lot of organic food? Do you make stuff yourself?
I don't often eat at home. That's the, you know, so not really.
If you do, like, let's say you're at a loose end and you need to make something.
Yeah.
What's your go-to?
2 minute noodles.
Oh, no. That's revolting.
No, I'm joking.
Really, that's revolting. You've just ruined your whole reputation as a Joburg kiwi.
Keeping his palate humble.
I'm keeping it humble. No, I'm joking. That was a joke.
Outrageous.
But you'd be surprised at how many chefs do when they go home. Yeah. Their go-to meals are either two-minute noodles or toasted cheeses.
Toasted cheese sandwiches is exactly, like the choice of so many different chefs.
That's horrible.
I guess it's like when all you do is, you know, you're making all this beautiful food.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like from here, we talk very nicely after this. We're like sailors. I mean, it's just dreadful.
Foul mouths. Talk nonsense.
Like a bunch of front holes.
No, I mean, in terms of
Joburg,
and that.
Are Joburg people, do they have a sophisticated palate? I mean, you know, Capetonians will make us feel like we're quite retrograde. That's not fair, right?
It's not unfair either.
Tell me more.
I think we have a different dining scene to Cape Town, and we shouldn't be expected to replicate it.
Kath is laughing because she is a Capetonian.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Restaurants.
No, I'm not. Oh, really?
Joburg is the best city I've ever lived in.
Ben feels the same way, but you were from Cape Town.
Yes, but not. I grew up in Durban. So
even better.
Totally not a Capetonian.
Okay. Trifecta.
Not trying to own that.
All right.
I think Joburg is finding its space in the food scene. I think what David Higgs has done with Marble and Our Saint, that is the niche that Joburg needs to be playing in. It's food that's relatable. It's food that's easy. It's understandable. Yes, it's not a 10-course tasting menu, but who says that has to be our fine dining culture here?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Joburg is very experience-driven. It's all about going out and enjoying that time out. I think we work a lot harder than they work in Cape Town for the most part.
Yes, we do. I'm glad you pointed that out. But that's absolutely true.
And I think when we go out, we want a full experience. And, you know, yes, we don't have 5 hours to do a lunch during the week. So when we go out at night, I think it should be an experience. And I think more restaurants should strive to offer better experiences throughout rather than just food.
I could not agree more. And we've got more and more restaurants popping up. Despite 100%. Everybody complaining about the economy.
Yeah.
It seems that there are new places.
Exactly. And Cape Town's realized where the money is because the Cape Town chefs are showing a lot of interest in Joburg.
Tell me what the most niche and interesting and small venues are that you found recently where they serve things that just you'd never thought they would in Johannesburg. Like little places that do, I don't know, dumplings or something crazy that's maybe something more complicated. Maybe people who are doing, I don't know, herbs only.
Herbs only. I don't know if Joburg's at that point yet where we're having such specialized dining experiences, but there are little places popping up. I mean, I love exploring Cyril Dean, for instance, like Chinatown.
Yes.
And all those little places. And there's a restaurant that's just opened, and shopping center restaurants get such flack. But in Thrapps, there's a new restaurant that's open called Farrow. And he's a chef. He used to work in London. He worked at some Michelin restaurants, and they moved to Joburg, opened the Cromerville Bakery. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Of course, yes.
But yeah, so now they've left the Cromerville Bakery and they've opened a little restaurant called Farrow, which
I'm trying to explain what Kath's doing here for a second, because we've got her pushing AeroPress down and the water's going through the coffee. That is not someone peeing that you're hearing now.
Yeah, this isn't some ASMR video happening.
That is some beautifully AeroPressed coffee coming through into a beautiful glass jug, which she will then pour into a couple of cups here. So that
it does sound like one of your lavatorial clips, though.
It does sound rather lavatorial, but it smells amazing. Is this the Rwanda again?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, nice. You like that Rwanda, huh?
I do, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Kath, I was in Rwanda last year, and like the morning cappuccino was like another level. So I was just going through emotions. I was drinking. Like, wow, this coffee's really good. I'm in Rwanda.
Yes,
it was that good.
So the altitude will probably also mean that you tasted the coffee better.
Okay. The altitude. Now, tell me about the water, because you can't just use any water. If you're going to be particular about the coffee, you must use decent water as well.
Yeah, you must.
You can't just pull it out of the... Yeah.
So you can't just open a tap in Vereeniging and start making coffee.
No, especially not in Vereeniging.
Probably not in Vereeniging, yeah. But Joburg tap water is absolutely fantastic.
It's fine, right?
Yeah.
You don't filter that again.
So you would filter it for anything like chlorine or anything. So that's really just putting it through a carbon block.
Okay.
Or actually putting it through like a microfilter as well, just to get rid of any really small particles, undissolved particles.
Tell me about there must be someone who's come in there and made you work hard. Like there must be, because there are these difficult people, right? I've met some of them. They come in and they ask you 1,000 questions. And then they give you work. They create admin for you. There are people who are very particular about what they drink, and I imagine with coffee it can get like that. Now they come to see the great Kath at work, and they suddenly have shit to give you. What's been the most difficult or complicated customer you've had?
So I think everybody everybody in coffee has an opinion, but I'm sure Steve feels the same way about food.
Oh,
as well.
Sure.
Yep.
He gets other people who will obviously say to him, "Oh, you're wrong."
All the time.
All the time.
Completely missed the boat on this one, yeah.
So that's for me, I learned very quickly just to kind of if you have an opinion, that's great. If you want to make your coffee that way, that's fine. I'm not gonna try and stand in an argument and tell you that you're wrong, because you obviously think that you're right.
So someone will say to you, "Oh, the AeroPress is a terrible way to make coffee."
Yeah.
All right. Well, pour some of that for us. I've got to tell you about Pause for Thought, sorry. A 10-part podcast series which is brought to you by Pet Heaven, South Africa's leading online pet food delivery service, hosted by Leanne Moll. I signed up for these guys the other day, Pet Heaven. So what they do is they'll deliver, you say monthly, you want it. But every 2 months, every 3 months, whatever you want, they'll come and deliver it for you. So I got Carl's food on there.
Brilliant.
And they delivered the first one on the same day.
Wow. And you live far away, Gareth.
Exactly. Find out about nutrition, socializing your dog, traveling with your pets, puppy training, common health issues, pet insurance, and more. It's all on our new podcast series called Pause for Thought. There are 10 episodes. They're all available right now on cliffcentral.com. Or wherever you listen to podcasts, just look for Pause for Thought. That's P-A-W-S. You get it, right? Pause for Thought. Pet Heaven, online-only pet supply business, offering recurring deliveries to keep your pets regularly fed, exceptional customer service, and competitive pricing in all their brands. They even have cat toys, Ben. You can check them out at petheaven.co.za. That's one word, PETHEAVEN.co.za.
Just top tip, when you're unpacking a cat's toy, keep the wrapping as well, because they ultimately always want that more than the toy itself.
Right.
But they appreciate the fact you've got the toy.
So there
it
is.
Don't just go there with like a stray piece of packet.
There's some
they'll cat, see through that.
Some cat advice from Ben. Pet Heaven, an online-only pet supply business. You can go and get everything you need for your pets at petheaven.co.za. And make sure you start listening to the podcast series, 10 episodes. You got pets?
No.
No? You got pets?
I have pets.
What do you have?
I have 2 dogs.
Very good. What kind of dogs are they?
A Border Collie and then a SPCA.
Special.
Special, yeah.
Right. So you walk a lot then?
Yeah.
You take your dogs walking?
Occasionally.
It's a Border Collie, okay. Gareth.
Very good. Yeah.
If you don't walk a Border Collie, it's like...
It'll be bouncing off the walls because it'll have too much coffee in its system otherwise. All right, while we try all this coffee, let me also tell you about The Happy Time Murders, because it is a crime comedy film which starts today in cinemas.
This trailer is a crime comedy.
It's fantastic. It features the comedic genius of Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, Elizabeth Banks, and Joel McHale when the puppet cast of an 80s children TV show starts being murdered one by one. A disgraced LAPD detective turned private eye puppet takes on the case. It sounds ridiculous, but if you watch the trailer, you'll know what I mean. It's a hilarious whodunit that is decidedly no sesame, all street. It releases in South African cinemas on the 31st of August. When we come back in a minute, we'll speak to none other than George Meany from Auto Trader about what's going on in the world of cars. We'll also try some more of Kath's coffee and take your calls and your thoughts. 0861-555 189, tell us what you're up to. Kath Bland is busy making us the most exciting versions of a number of coffee blends that she actually
helps put together and represent. It's a company called Been There, and they have their own store at 44 Stanley. You can go and check out too. You can see Kat actually doing the stuff. She's busy being a barista, right? You look like you wanted to disagree with me. You don't have to. Don't be shy. Go on.
So I work with a group of guys who are exceptional baristas. They are the artists.
So you don't actually get involved in that?
No.
You don't?
Yeah. Well, I can.
Can I ask for you to do it if I see you hanging around in the back there? I want her to do it.
If you
want to
be one of those douchey...
Right. Those people I was talking about earlier. Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Okay, let's go to George Meany and see what's happening in the world of cars. Hey, George, how are you?
Hey, Gareth, how are you?
Good. Excellent, man. Good. Are you actually in your car at the moment? Because that would be a first.
No, I'm actually not. I am sitting in our Formula One simulator.
Oh.
At the Festival of Motoring.
Very good. We spoke about the Festival of Motoring not so long ago, so it's all happening this weekend, right?
It's all happening this weekend, and it's going to be bigger than ever. There's massive participation from the car manufacturers. Let me not call them by their technical name because nobody will know what that is. They're actually called the original equipment manufacturers. That's their OEM is their title.
Mm-hmm.
But the car makers of South Africa, there are 52 of them here today, and I'm attending the NAMSA conference, which is the Automobile Association of South Africa, and I'm doing a talk at this NAMSA conference. But the NAMSA conference kicks off the Festival of Motoring for the weekend, so it's very exciting. We've put up for the first time ever a tech zone. So we've got the upper level of the Kyalami main building. And we've got a Formula One simulator, which this simulator is unbelievable, Gareth. It's on hydraulics. It has screens in front of you. If you brake in the simulator, the seat belts pull into your chest to simulate the feeling of the G-force. It is amazing. And I think this is going to be a big weekend. For the conference this morning, all 450 tickets are sold out.
Wow. My God, it's amazing. Have you gone around the track in the simulator?
No, I haven't. I'm going to a bit later on, but right. At the moment I'm sitting in it. The guys that actually operated aren't here yet, so hopefully by the time they get here, I'm going to be the first one to drive the thing.
Well, we want to hear about that experience when we speak to you next week.
Absolutely, absolutely. So. So that's the Festival of Motoring, and it's going to be an exciting weekend. I think this is going to be much better than last year's. And then second to that, believe it or not, there are 6 car safety features that were pioneered by women.
Yes.
And little known. The first one is the mechanical turn and brake signals.
Yes.
That was actually pioneered by a woman.
Oh, wow.
The next one you're not going to believe. But guess what? Brake pads.
Brake pads.
By a woman.
A woman discovered brake pads.
Yep. Pioneered by a woman.
Very good.
We think that
all this stuff was invented by men because men are more into cars. It's nonsense.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Okay. Now the next one's gonna blow your mind. Guess what?
Yeah.
Windscreen wipers.
No.
Yes. In 1902, Mary Anderson. Was visiting New York by tram, noticed how a driver had either had to stop or get up to clean the windscreen by hand and keep both panes of the double front window open to prevent the sleet from obstructing his view. She got inspired.
And she decided, I'll invent these things called windscreen wipers. Very clever.
Yes. And then another thing invented by a woman is wireless transmission technology.
Really?
Yep.
That's pretty big. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And lastly, this one's also going to blow your mind because it's so simple. The car heater.
Yeah, that one I would have said, there's no man who's clever enough to have come up with the idea of having to heat the inside of the car to make it a little bit more pleasant or cool it down. I'm sure that the two go together, right?
Oh, yeah. So Margaret A. Wilcox in 1893 invented the car heater.
Hmm. Very nice. So
there's very interesting.
Lots that women can be proud of when they when it comes to their contribution to the automobile. All right.
Exactly. And then very lastly, I'm very excited about this, but Sebastian Vettel won the Belgian Grand Prix. He led the Grand Prix after the second corner to the finish and is now threatening Lewis Hamilton's lead, are now being 17 points behind Lewis Hamilton. And there's 8 more races left, so I think this is going to go down to the wire.
Very, very good. All right, George, we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks very much for the update.
Thanks, Gareth.
All right, George Meany, and you can catch Auto Central every Monday on cliffcentral.com. It is a live motoring show with all the other stuff attached to motoring, the life of motoring, the things that happen on our roads. There's a lot of useful info that you could pick up there too. Make sure you don't miss it. This coming Monday, brand new episode, cliffcentral.com. It is just before 8 o'clock. I want to say a big thank you to Kath. I want to thank Steve for coming in. We've done some coffee this morning, and I'm sure we'll try some more through the course of the day, and we'll let you know how it goes. Big thank you to you for being part of it this morning, and we'll catch up with you on Monday. I'm away next week, but Ben and Sia will be holding down the fort, and I'll be giving you some updates from Berlin, where we're doing a media tour, and I'll tell you all about what's going on there too. We'll be recording some interviews with some interesting people and sharing those with you as well. So, it's all happening. Here's the un-news. Salim Simanga is still the mayor of Tshwane, but only just. The EFF and ANC are really impressed with what he's done with the finances in the metro there, so much so that they believe there's now enough on the right side of the balance sheet to start stealing again. So each week they're going to try to get votes of no confidence passed until they can get him out and put themselves in. A Syrian man is being held in a Malaysian airport as his passport is no longer valid. When he arrived, it was, but then the war broke out, so when he got to passport control, he was a nationless refugee. Not only has he now spent 4 months in limbo in the airport, but Tom Hanks and the producers of The Terminal are suing him for plagiarism. Finally, the US Open is trying hard to get some credibility back after the sexist incident last week. Having exhibited a dreadful double standard of men being able to take their shirts off on court, but women not enjoying the same freedom, the event now says women can change clothes whenever and wherever. Ticket sales have naturally skyrocketed for women's matches as a result. Have a good weekend and enjoy the first day of spring officially tomorrow. Cliffcentral.com.